In a matter of days, Illinois will have a new governor. Right now, the transition to J.B. Pritzker's administration is underway. As with most incoming governors, there's hope the future will see Illinois improve. But a former state lawmaker, who also served in the Thompson administration, says Pritzker faces many hurdles, mostly on the financial side. Jim Nolan has been observing and participating in state government for over half a century. He now writes a weekly newspaper column, and a recent one touched on the Pritzker transition, in which he says the afterglow for the new governor will soon fade. We talked with Jim Nolan about it. A lot of enthusiasm, especially among the Pritzker supporters, but you seem a bit more pessimistic when it comes to him being able to accomplish some of the goals he's laid out.
The new governor will find himself in a box, not of his own making, and that will be frustrating, exasperating for him and his backers. Naturally, there are high expectations among Pritzker backers, as well as people across the state after a very difficult governorship, some would say a failed governorship of the past 4 years. So expectations are high, and realities will dampen those expectations. Not that I want that to occur. It's just the reality of the situation in which we find ourselves with an $8 billion set of unpaid bills, a $3 billion deficit projected for the coming year. And so it's going to be hard to find money to do new things, which, of course, every transition wants to do. And that's, I'm sure, no different from the one that's going on now. I'm on one of the committees, and I'm not supposed to talk about what's going on in this big committee, so I won't specifically. But it's obvious that the folks around the table of this and other committees think there are things to be done to improve Illinois, but 9 out of 10 of those ideas cost money, often big money, and it just isn't going to be available, absent significant increases in revenue from taxes, marijuana, and gambling, although those two, I think, are chimera. They're not going to produce the kind of money expected, and the kind of money that comes from those things isn't of a magnitude to fulfill the dreams of the incoming administration.
Without divulging too much about the work you're doing on the transition team, can you explain what the transition team is, that the one that you're involved with?
There are 11 transition teams, so big, unwieldy, which is typical because there are lots of people who should be consulted and have information that could be valuable to the administration. The one I am on has to do with workforce development and economic opportunity, which can range from the research needs at our big universities to providing apprenticeships and career training for folks who think 4-year college is not in their plans and indeed needn't be in their plans. So it's a wide range of activities related to jobs, basically.
You did point out some of the problems the state faces financially. These fiscal problems, they seem a bit insurmountable at this point for at least somebody coming into office. Are they insurmountable?
First, I think we have to set aside the idea that there's enough waste and corruption in state government to surmount the fiscal problems that we face. For example, over the past 20 years, there's been a dramatic reduction in state employment. In 2002, there were 83,000 state employees, not including universities. Today, I think the number is about 60,000. So we've had a reduction already of about 25% of the state employee base in Illinois. And some would say we've hollowed out state government. The parks are decrepit, and the Department of Children and Family Services continues to be cut, both in staffing and in dollars, even though the needs are terrific and everybody says the agency can't meet its responsibilities as it is. I guess the point is that government is functioning right now, yet it cannot function the way the incoming governor would like it to function without additional revenues. And that then becomes a question of what kinds of new revenues and when would those come online, and would new revenues actually dampen the economic vitality of the state by driving more people out? So it's the incoming governor's in a box.
Talking with Jim Nolan, he's been around government a long time. He's a former state lawmaker, and right now he's serving on a transition team for the governor-elect, J.B. Pritzker. Your column talks about and goes back, you know, about 40 years to when Jim Thompson became the governor of the state of Illinois. You helped work on that transition of his into office. Is there a lesson that can be learned from those days?
The lesson is that it is difficult, almost impossible, to look ahead and plan for the future when the demands of the present overwhelm the staff that is brought on board for a new governorship. As I noted in a column, the incoming chief of staff to Governor Thompson found a few days after setting up the transition office that he had 400 phone message slips in a day before the internet on his desk from people who believe they deserve to have their calls returned. Well, that makes it very difficult to spend much time looking ahead, planning for 5 and 10 years out when you have lots of problems facing you at the moment.
Pension debt, well over $130 billion long-term, but you have some ideas on what can be done there.
The pension problem is the albatross around the neck of Illinois state government. That, along with the ever-increasing costs of the Medicaid program, which provides health care for 3+ million of our citizens, and until those two challenges are grasped and somehow reduced over time, that is, the cost reduced over time, anybody who is governor will continue to be in the box that I referred to a couple of minutes ago. As for pensions, the court has said we have guaranteed the pension obligations by state constitution, and therefore there's nothing you can do to reduce them. Therefore, how do you figure out how to pay for them and maybe reduce the cost annually of paying for them? We're spending about 25% to 30% of our general fund's budget on pension, meeting pension obligations and building the asset base. And that simply squeezes everything else in the state budget down or out of the budget. So what can be done? I think the best of a lot of terrible options, and this is a terrible option that I'm going to propose, is to stretch out the payments, you know, from a 10-year mortgage to a 30-year mortgage, to use an illustration we can understand. The payments become less annually, but you pay more over time. And people say that's kicking the can down the road, and indeed it is. But the benefit is that there's a little bit more money to spend now for crying services, such as children in our children's agency who are not being cared for.
You also touched on the graduated income tax discussion about that. J.B. Pritzker wants to change our tax structure from the flat tax to what's considered a graduated tax, where the wealthier pay more money. You do see some problems, though, with that idea as well.
Yes, I'm a moderate Republican, and so I tend to think that we need to encourage enterprise and creativity in our state, and I worry that sending the message that we're going to tax the 1%ers, the 5%ers among us who are the creative types who make jobs happen, will simply send a message nationwide that Illinois is even less attractive as a place to do business for those people than it has been in the past. And that the past is a setting in which CEO Magazine and other observers say we have one of the worst business climates in the state. I don't necessarily believe that, but that's the perception that we have. So a graduated income tax, such as we have at the federal level, may make sense in theory, but I think in practice at the moment, it could have a net negative effect on state government. So I personally oppose the graduated income tax. And even if there were one to be enacted, I don't think it could be generating additional revenue until the last fiscal year of the incoming governor. You have to have the legislature enact a proposal to go on to the ballot in 2020, when the voters would have a chance to say whether they approve of a graduated income tax. And then if that's approved in 2020, it would be 2021 before the legislature could enact the tax, and then it would take some time from enactment to generate real revenue. So it's way down the pike in terms of having an impact on the high expectations that people have at the moment.
And Jim, before time gets away, let me ask you, you've seen a lot of administrations in the state come and go. What are some of the lessons learned and ones that J.B. Pritzker can pay attention to here?
Bring the best people you can find from within government and from outside into your administration, and give them appropriate flexibility to run their agencies and to contribute to the strength of the state and to the resolution of its problems. Don't micromanage, as I say. Look for the best people. And I would emphasize that there are very good people inside state government who have committed their lives to serving through state government, and that they should be listened to and not cast aside simply because they are not part of the new administration. And these can be both political people and career professionals. It doesn't mean you have to keep all the political people who have been brought in by the previous governor, but listen to them and learn from them. People don't appreciate that state government is a really big, complicated business, as I said, with 60,000 employees and literally hundreds of specific programs ranging from agriculture to business to education to universities to science and to parks and so on. And so big, good people, give them latitude to do good jobs.
Jim Nolan writes a weekly newspaper column. He's a former lawmaker, former lieutenant governor candidate, and he's served in various roles in and around government. He joined us here on Statewide.